Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
He will ultimately work all things together for my good, either in this life or in the life to come, because I have learned and I have experienced the character, ability, knowledge, and trust of God.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for joining us again on Revive Radio. We pray this sermon series has been a blessing to you. This series is entitled Mind Management. Let's go back into this series today with Pastor Rogers. This is Mind Management, Part 6. Let's get back into this series with Pastor Rogers.
Trusting is another whole level. Trusting, by definition, is assured reliance on the character. If you don't get anything else, get this. Assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Another definition is one in which confidence is placed. Dependence on something future or contingent. Or the word hope, Webster inserts here, for trust. There is a definite difference between believing and trusting. How important that it is that I have an understanding of it. I want to bring this to your understanding. It's going to help you, I believe, here tonight. By most definitions and by most people saying I believe in something, they say I believe it exists. In other words, many people would say, well, I believe in God. Well, you don't have anything more than demon belief, because the Bible says demons believe in God and tremble. So believing, then, most people define it as I believe that God exists. And quite frankly, if you ask anybody on the street all the way around the world, most people would say, sure, I believe in God. What they're saying is, I believe that he exists. There's a difference between I believe he exists and I trust him. To believe God exists, which I'm afraid that many people, that's what they've been saved into, simply believe God and you're in. But the real challenge comes when you have to believe God and trust him. Are you with me? To believe God exists, listen, to believe that God exists or there is a God in heaven does not require you to have trust or even faith. And that, my friend, I believe is a overwhelming majority of the population of this planet. It is the same as saying, I believe that another person exists. I believe that you exist as a person in this world, but I don't have confidence or trust in you. I want you to note something. As I was preparing for this, I want you to note this. And I'm going to tell you, if the historical revisionist and the historical, our forefathers and so forth, the revisionists would love to just rewrite the whole thing and expunge God from everything. But I'm just going to tell you, there is no doubt in my mind that our forefathers and leaders of America establishing this government were divinely inspired to write it the way they wrote it. Consider the United States motto. The motto of the United States does not say, in God we believe. It says, in God we trust. If all we do is believe in God, then Muhammad and Krishna and Buddha and everything else and Jesus are all on the same level. But when you elevate that to trusting in God, you've taken that thing to a whole new level, and it is exclusive because by our definition right here, Trust is the assurance and the reliance on the character, ability, let me put it in context, strength or truth, not just of someone or something, but I have trust in God because I have experienced His character, His ability, His strength, and His truth. That's far and above what believe is. That's not always the case when we have this mindset that somehow, and many people assume that trusting God means He's going to get me out of everything or get me out of whatever trouble that I'm in, but that's not always the case. Trusting God doesn't mean that everything works out like I want it. Are y'all with me? The world right now is full of pain and suffering and death and wars, and all of that is a result of sin coming into the world. Okay? So just because you're a believer doesn't mean, just because you're trusting in God doesn't mean that you're not going to go through something or have to bury someone or go through pains or sufferings and so forth. In fact, if you allow that to work inside of you like God wants it to work, it actually solidifies the fact that trusting God will mean that somehow, some way, this is a trust in God, not just belief that He exists, but I trust Him because I know His character, His ability and strength and His truth, that He will ultimately work all things together for my good, either in this life or in the life to come, because I have learned and I have experienced the character, ability, knowledge, and trust of God. Trusting in God means that He will intervene in the world and in my life in His perfect timing, and I trust Him to do so when He gets ready. Now, get this, because this correlates with where we're going here tonight. Believing, all right? To believe is the first step. The intervening step or the middle step would be the growth or the faith that is building. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Ultimately, that should lead us to trust, which actually, when you look at it in the scripture, you find that that deals with covenant. Are you with me? I'm talking about managing your mind here. So watch this. This is Egypt. I believed that God exists after 400 years. And my first step is out of bondage. My sins are forgiven. Praise God. Faith is what is worked into my life in the wilderness experience. I crossed the Red Sea, which is a type of baptism, okay? And I'm now in the wilderness learning God after 400 years. I want you to understand something. The wilderness is not freedom. You're not free until your mind gets free, and that's shown by how you trust God when He makes you responsible enough by walking through the wilderness so that you can handle what you need to when you're given your freedom when you enter into the promised land. Are you still with me? So we're set free believing. Yes, I praise God, I believe you. My faith is built by what God instructs me as I'm walking through the wilderness. He's working it out. He's building me, He's strengthening me. To come into the promised land, let me stop right here and say this. The promised land is not heaven. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been giants there and battles to fight. What He's saying is, and we're going to play this out here tonight, God helping us. The wilderness is where I'm going to show you who I am in every part of you, and I'm going to take care of you like a little baby in a crib until we get you to the place where you will know me so well that you'll trust me when I take away the stuff. When I take the bottle out of your mouth and you now have to get up and get a job so that you can be responsible now for providing, trusting me that I will meet every need of your life. A little groundwork there for you tonight. So, with that in mind, when I believe, it's the first step out of bondage. I take a step out of Egypt. When I place my faith in the Lord in the wilderness and he's feeding me and clothing me and taking care of every need of my life and showing me who he is on the mountain and so forth and so on, then I'm actually growing in my faith. I should be by the trials and by the test and the walk in the wilderness. Knowledge of God, by the time I get to the place where I'm ready to step in here, I'm ready to obey him no matter what he says, because I trust him. This is where the problem started. And you find the answer to it in Hebrews 3 and 19. The Bible says, so we see. Now, you can go back and read it for yourself, but this particular chapter deals with the children of Israel and what brought them to the place. But ultimately, he identifies one thing that kept them out of the promised land. He said, but we see that it was because of their unbelief that they were unable to enter. They did not have, after all this training in the wilderness, after all of God exposing himself, revealing himself, showing himself mighty to them, even through the battles, even through the test, even through I'm thirsty and water coming out of a rock supernaturally. I'm hungry, quail flying through the air, and they reach out of their tent and grab one. I want some bread, and he drops it down in the morning, every morning for 6 days, and give us this day our daily bread. All of that stuff. And yet they got right to the moment, even with the evidence hanging on the pole between two guys and the 10 spies that were with them, 12 total, that all confessed with one voice, there's milk and honey over there. But 10 said, we've got a problem. There's also giants over there. And then they said this, made this incredible statement, which was a mindset for them that kept them out. But we see ourselves as grasshoppers in their eyes. They assumed and presumed so much that they looked through the eyes of the giants and saw themselves. And assumed and presumed that it was an impossible task. Even, you're looking at me like I'm making this up. Even when they had the word of God and God Almighty telling them, march in and possess the land. God already knew there were giants in the land. God already knew there was going to be a fortress called Jericho. God already knew all of the battles they were going to face. He said, I've already given you this. I've told you I'm going to be with you. Go in and take what the enemy is possessing. This land belongs to you. And to this very night, Israel is still trying to drive out of the land the same old spirits of Anak and the Canaanites. Come on, somebody. They just changed names. I'm not against anybody having their property and the land that they need to have, but I'm just going to tell you, go back and look at it. I've done my research. Palestinians never had a piece of property, never had a land. And if you read that book right there, the little sliver of land that Israel is on right now is not even the totality of what God said they're going to possess. And rest assured, whether in time or in eternity, and you can know it's going to happen according to the word of God, God's going to give it all back to them and possess the land. That's God's promise. Well, how do I know he's going to keep his word? Because I've trusted him in character, ability, strength, and he's proven himself in the wilderness so much that I'd have to deny God exists to not take a step when God told me to take a step.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.